An Off-Piste Christmas by Julie Houston and read by Emma Swan for Saga Egmont. Prologue. September. There is absolutely no way on this planet I am carting all of this family, including 2 3-year-olds with all their paraphernalia, to some freezing cold place in the Italian Alps for Christmas. No way. No way, Luigi. Don't even think about it. Absolutely my final word on the matter. No. Chapter 1. December 26th. Manchester Airport. For heaven's sake, Mum, we look like something out of My Family and Other Animals. 20-year-old Libby, down from Oxford University after finishing the autumn term as a second-year medical student, rolled her eyes theatrically at the spectacle of the Westmoreland entourage's attempt to get away on its Christmas break and stuck her nose back in her textbook.
So,
Kit said through an over-ambitious mouthful of cheese and ham sandwich,
tell me what your dead body looks like, Libby. Did you get a good-looking one?
It was 6 a.m, and the only reason he wasn't dead to the world in his usual post-adolescent state on the chair beside me was because he'd declared himself starving and, in order to be refuelled, rather like some petrol-guzzling Formula One car, needed to be awake. No doubt, once his 18-year-old's hunger had been assuaged for an hour or so, he would be catatonic once more, and I would have one hell of a job waking him to go through security, passport control, and onto the plane itself. Oh, for God's sake, Kit. Libby frowned and screwed up her eyes as a sign for her brother to get back to his sandwich and to leave her alone. I think that's a jolly good question, I said mildly. I was as interested as Kit in the whole idea of a medical student's cadaver. Did they have just the one body to work on? Did the students become attached to their cadaver? I was just about to ask Libby this when, without turning to look at Kit or me, she said shortly, I'm rather fond of corpses because, unlike living people, they don't speak. Kit rolled his eyes at me and went back to his sandwich, and I shut up. Libby had been prickly ever since coming home a couple of weeks before Christmas, reminding me of how she'd been several years ago as a difficult adolescent. I thought she'd grown out of all that. I sighed, glancing over to Sebastian Henderson, Libby's very gorgeous boyfriend. He was talking to my best friend, Grace, while throwing a giggling jaunty, his and Grace's son, up into the air. I sighed. This Sebastian, Grace and Libby triangle didn't get any easier, and I wondered, not for the first time, if it was constantly seeing Grace and Seb together with jaunty that was making Libby stressed.
Stop sighing like that, Mum, Kit said. We're on holiday.
Not yet, we're not. I looked at the long queue of passengers waiting obediently for the Jet 2 counter to open.
Okay, I'll cheer you up with my duck joke.
Kit popped the last morsel of sandwich into his mouth, chewed and leaned towards me.
So, this duck walks into a bar, goes up to the bartender and says, got any grapes? The bartender says, no, and the duck walks out. The next day, the same duck walks into the bar, goes up to the bartender and says, got any grapes? Again, the bartender says, no, and the duck walks out. The next day, the duck walks into the bar again and goes up to the bartender and says, got any grapes?
The bartender says, look, duck, you've come in here 3 days in a row asking me if I have any grapes, and I keep telling you no. If you come in here and ask me that just one more time, I'm going to nail your sodding beak to the bar. The duck walks out. A couple of weeks go by with no sign of the duck. Finally, one day, the duck walks back in and goes up to the bartender and says, got any nails? The bartender says, no. The duck says, got any grapes? Kit started laughing and I joined in, snorting together until we couldn't stop.
Well, that's one of your better ones, Kit, I said, looking up to see Grace in front of me, amused at the sight of the pair of us giggling together like a couple of 10-year-olds. Come on, share the joke.
Grace looked as gorgeous as ever, even at 6 in the morning, her chestnut hair in one long, shiny plait over her shoulder, her brown eyes carefully outlined in smudged coal to emphasise their envy-inducing size.
That's just what it was, I laughed. One of Kit's daft.